We'll just read one verse. We're not interested in the context. It's all a pretext this morning. The Bible said all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness. Amen. Well, this is certainly not going to be doctrine. Every Scripture has four applications. You know, it's historical, and it's practical, and it's prophetic, and then it's good for admonition. So in Numbers chapter 10, verse 29, the Bible said, and Moses said unto Hobab, the son of Reguel, the Midianite, Moses' father-in-law, we are journeying unto the place of which the Lord said, I will give it you. Come with thou with us, and we will do thee good. For the Lord has spoken good concerning Israel. Let's pray. Father, help us now this morning to preach. I pray, be with our tongue. Help us to say only those things that are right and true, only those things that are convenient and helpful. Lord, I pray, help us to be a blessing to thy people. And Lord God, that we might lift up and exalt thy name, that we might lift up the Lord Jesus Christ. We might say those things that bring honor and glory to thee. Father, we'd thank you and praise you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, in that verse, it said, we are journeying unto the place which the Lord has said, I will give it you. And so I just want to borrow that thought out of that verse. I'm not going to worry about the historical context or the doctrinal interpretation. I just want to borrow that thought and talk to you on this thought this morning. It's been a journey. How about you? I've been saved 34 years. And it's been a journey. Now, life is a journey. I'm 62 years old, and 61 years and 5-6 months. I'm almost 62. Picky. But I'll soon be 62. And it's been a journey. And if you've been around very long, you have to confess life is a journey. And it's not always a predictable journey. It's not always an enjoyable journey. It's not always an understandable journey. But blessed be God, it is a journey. Amen. And when you look back on your life, at least the part you've had so far, you'd have to say, it's been a trip. It's been a journey. Amen. And if you've been saved very long, you're going to have to look back at your Christian life and say the same thing. Amen. Christian life is not a lot different in some ways than the journey of life, because it's going to be filled with pretty much the same things. And so life is a journey. The Christian life is a journey. And a lot of it's what you make out of it. A lot of it is just circumstances come your way, and what you have to learn to do is make the most out of it, whether it's the journey of life or your Christian journey. Minimize the bad, maximize the good, stiff upper lip, que sera, sera, whatever will be, will be. Be just kind of real dogmatic and just push your way on through it and stay steadfast till the end. Amen? And I don't know any other way to deal with life. I'm sick and tired of folks that can't deal with this and can't cope with that and all that nonsense. What are you going to do? I mean, what are you going to do? You say, I can't deal with that. Well, what are you going to do? Of course you're going to deal with it. Amen. Now, you may deal with it poorly, but deal with it you will. It's your problem. You've got to deal with it. And so you can chicken out, you can yell out and force somebody else to make your decisions and do your stuff for you. Amen. And there's a lot of that goes on anymore. Or you can do it yourself. Dr. Ruttman used to say, a man does what he's supposed to do, or he spends the rest of his life alibying his way out of it. That is, making excuses for why he didn't do what he's supposed to do. Now, in life, all kind of things come our way. And I want to talk to you about some of that this morning. I heard a song the other day. It's an old, old song, but I heard it again, and it made me think. And I think it was the Happy Goodmans, Vestal and Howard Goodman, that sang the song, and it's called, I Wouldn't Take Nothing for My Journey Now. Now, there may have been some places along the way I would have swapped it for anything. But once you get down toward the end of it and you've got a little perspective and you've got a little history and you can look back and you see how God's delivered you and how good God has been, it's in retrospect that we say, I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. You can't say that looking forward because you ain't made that journey. And you haven't seen God's hand, and you haven't seen God's deliverance, and you haven't seen God's provision. Amen. But looking back, you can see what God did. And so that's the reason they sing the song, I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now that it's almost over, now that most of it's behind me. But looking back at it, most of us would have to look back and say, boy, it was a journey. It was a trip. It wasn't nothing like I anticipated. It wasn't nothing like what I expected. God sure did throw some curveballs in there. I didn't see that one coming. Amen. That's just the way life is. Whether you're saved or lost, good or bad, you're not going to figure it out. You're not going to figure it out. Tomorrow is going to be a mystery. And you're not going to have anything to shout about, and you're not going to understand anything about it until you're looking back at what happened. Amen. And so this morning I want to talk to you. I only have about 20 points here. It won't take long. I want to talk to you about it's been a journey. Now, I got thinking about that, and I think I'm old enough now. I've been saved on some things and see how God operates sometimes. I think I've got a better insight and better perspective on the way God does things today than I did 34 years ago when I first got saved. Amen. It's like when you first get married, you know you're in love, you know she's beautiful, you know you want her, but boy, you don't know her. Somebody say amen. Some of you men with some guts, say amen. I'm in a room full of yellow bellies. Now you got to admit, the one you married ain't the one you thought you was dating. Amen. You learn more about her in 6 months after you got married than you did in 3 years of courting. And you found out that all women have split personalities. Amen. Amen. And one of them is the devil. I've been saved 34 years, and I knew I loved Jesus when I got saved. And boy, and I was thankful for what he did. But now looking back at his provision and his care for the past 34 years, I can say I know him and I love him. Amen. I used to just love him. Now I know him and I love him. And so I want to share some of that with you this morning. It's been a journey. It's been a journey to the mountains high. Boy, there have been times along my trip that I was just right on the mountaintop. Amen. I mean, God's just been good and things was going my way and God was pouring blessings out. And I mean, you're just on shouting ground. You know, when a Christian talks about mountaintop experiences, we're talking about when God's pouring the blessings out and things are going good and God is real and His mercy is great. And we're just shouting it out because God's been such a wonderful Savior and such a wonderful God and such a wonderful provider. And we say, oh, man, I've been on the mountain. And I tell you what, in my 34 years, I've had some time up on the mountaintop. There have been some times when God was just so good, you could have shouted. Amen. I know some of you Baptists would have a heart attack rather than shout, but some of us like to shout. So it's been a journey that took us to the mountains high. It's also been a journey that took us through the valleys low. I'm here to tell you, that Bible said, man is born a woman with few days and full of trouble. And if you live and breathe, you're not always going to be on the mountaintop. Sometimes you're going to be down in the valley. And things are going to come in your life. Things are not going to go your way. Things are going to come by you didn't expect, things you didn't understand, and certainly things you didn't want. If you could have planned it, if you could have laid it out, you would have done it totally different. But God has a different perspective on your life, and He understands what you need differently than you do. Amen. And you're down here looking horizontal and he's up there looking vertical, and you got a straight line picture and he's got a wide screen picture. And God knows what you need. And so God lets things come and God sends things that you weren't looking for. Amen. And sometimes what God sends is unpleasant. Amen. That's like that little song they used to sing, you know, the guy said he asked for sunshine and you sent rain. I prayed for health and you sent sickness. Sometimes God looks like God just does opposite of what you want and what you think you need. That's because God knows what will make you a stronger person and a better person. And sometimes to strengthen you and keep you close and to keep you humble, God sends you down through the valleys of life. And I guarantee you, but if you live very long, if you're saved very long, you not only have the mountaintops, you're going to be down in the valleys. Amen. Listen, don't get too attached to the mountaintop. They're not here to stay. Don't get too despondent down in the valley. They're not here to stay. Amen. Not only has it been a journey to the mountains high and the valley low, it's been a journey through the green pastures. Boy, there's been some places in my life, and I bet there have in yours if you've been saved very long, where it was just green pastures, where it was just pleasant. It was calm and peaceful, and you were getting fed, and everything just looked wonderful, and you really didn't have any complaints about God, and you didn't have any complaints about life, and it was just a peaceful place. You're down in the valley, and the grass was green, and the children were doing good, and the family was doing good, and everybody's health was doing good, and you had the bills paid, and you still had money left over to go to Mickey D's, you know, or now we go down to Sonic and get them 99-cent banana splits. And if y'all only have one of them, go down there tonight and get you one. They're pretty good. Amen. But when you got money left over, banana split, you in the green valley, buddy. I mean, you down there where things are good. And I guarantee your life's going to have some green pastures in it. There are going to be some places where things just are harmonious and peaceful and everything's real blessing. Don't get too hungry that way. It's been a journey that took me through the still waters. But there's been some places where you had to slow down and take it easy and stop and think things through. Amen. A fellow back there in the cave in the Old Testament, you know, he heard the lightning and the thunder and the wind and all that. And then he heard the still, small voice. There's sometimes when you got to slow down and get away from the world and get away from all the hustle and bustle and put your own personal problems and stuff aside and sit down and get close to God and take get a quiet place and a still place and drink out of the still waters. Let God feed your soul and let God refresh you. This old world will wear you out and run you down. And what you got to do sometimes is just get along with God down there where the waters are still and quiet. Let God speak to your heart. Let God strengthen you and let God refresh you. It's been a journey with blue skies and sunny days. Boy, sometimes you get up and everything's going good and God is real and God is sweet and it's just like the sun is shining all day long and the skies are blue. You know, I like to go out after a thunderstorm in the summertime, one of those little thunderstorms that come up, lasts about 15 or 20 minutes. You get, you know, late in the afternoon, it's all hazy and fuzzy, and the sky is blue, but it's kind of a misty blue. I got a haze on it, and you can see the dust on all the leaves and stuff. They're not bright and shiny. They're green, but they're kind of dull. And then that little old storm comes up, and the rain comes down for a few minutes. Maybe the wind blows for 10 or 15 minutes, and it just a torrential downpour. And then that storm passes off in just a little while, and it's gone. And you look, and all that haze that was in the sky is gone. And now the sky is just blue as it can be. And the leaves are all clean and shiny green. You ever been there? You ever watch those storms in the summertime and see how refreshing they are? And that little storm cleans everything up, and you love those sunny days and those blue skies. I like it when I've got peace in my heart and quietness in my soul. I like those sunny days and blue skies when everything's perking along just like it should be. And you think, oh, it's going to be like this forever. I've got all my troubles behind me. And God just letting the sun come. Listen, the Bible said God lets the sun shine on the just and the unjust, and the rain comes on the good and the bad. Amen? And buddy, you enjoy them sunny days while you can. Make the most out of them. Enjoy them. And thank God for them because the rain's coming. It's been a journey that took us into the darkest night. Now, you can't live without nighttime. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we could just live forever in perpetual sunshine? There was a science fiction writer back in the 30s and 40s. His name was Edgar Rice Burroughs. He was one of my favorite authors when I was growing up. I was a science fiction buff, and I read everything Edgar Rice Burroughs ever wrote. And he wrote a little book called The Land of Perpendicular. And The Land of Perpendicular, this guy goes from the crust of the earth to the core of the earth. And when it gets down there, it's hollow inside. And then there's the core right in the middle. And so over here, you know, we're shaped like this. But inside, he's on this side. And no matter where he goes, it's always sunshine. The sun shines everywhere, all the time, in the land of perpendicular. I thought, boy, wouldn't that be wonderful? But that's not real life. That's a daydream. That's an illusion. That's a fantasy. In real life, we have daytime and nighttime. And boy, in the daytime, we enjoy the blessings of God and the good things of God. But I guarantee if you live and breathe, if you walk, talk, and wear out shoes, I guarantee you, you're going to have some nighttime someplace. And sometimes the nighttime is a frightening time. You ever notice how little children and women are afraid of the dark? Us men are never. I'm talking about us real men now. We ain't never scared of no dark. As long as we got a flashlight and a 38. Oh, excuse me. I'm about to choke to death up here this morning. Now, what was I talking about? I was getting into nighttime. Nighttime can be a frightening time. I used to go camping a lot when I was a kid. Now, I sleep in my waterbed now. I ain't getting on no quilt laying on the ground on a bunch of rocks and roots and stuff. You go camping if you want to. I'm going to Howard Johnson's or Days Inn or someplace. Amen. I'm a motel kind of guy. I'm camping. That's out. It's not comfortable. It's rough. And I forgot my place again, which is not the first time. Now, when we camped out in the dark, you want to go someplace, you got to take a lantern or a light with you because you're always tripping over roots. Amen. Or I have tripped over the tent strings. Or, you know, you're down there by the river and it's kind of marshy and you don't know if there's any snakes down there. Now, we used to fret about them cottonmouth water moccasins. I never did see one, never have, down at the river. And I've seen plenty in some creeks and bayous, but I never saw one down to the lake. But I was always worried about them. Oh, it made you cautious and careful, amen? So in the nighttime, we tend to be more fearful. In the nighttime, we tend to be more careful because we can't see and we don't know what's out there. And a lot of times, nighttime is pictured as an unknown because you don't know where things at. And so you got to be real careful out there in the nighttime. And in your lifetime, you're going to have some nighttime. There are going to be some times, there are going to be some places where you better be really careful about the decisions you make. You better be really careful about the course you take. You better be really careful about what you do out there in the nighttime. If you can't see it clearly, if you don't understand it clearly, if you don't get some light on it, don't do it. Wait till the sun comes up. Dr. Howes used to say, don't ever make a life-changing decision when you're in the valley or when you're in the nighttime. Wait till you know what you're doing. Take your time. Think it through. Be careful. Y'all just have to excuse me. I'm dying up here. That's rough to do that, ain't it, Lord? That's pitiful. Now, not only has it been a journey into the darkest night, it's been a journey filled with the frigid blast of winter. Now, when I was young, I loved the summertime. But I'll be honest with you, the fatter I get and the older I get, the more I hate this hot weather. I got to where I can take the cold a lot better than I can the heat. Amen? But when I was young, I was real skinny. And I didn't like the cold because, man, it didn't take but a second to get me cold all the way through. You know, when I joined the Navy in 1962, I weighed about 113 pounds. I drank one of them cherry drinks, and I looked like a thermometer. You could tell what temperature it was by looking at me. And but the cold didn't bother me. I mean, the heat didn't bother me. Now it's turned around. I know this, that if you live and breathe, there's going to be times in your life where you're not going to be as hot as you used to be. There are going to be times when you're cold. Cold on what? Oh, cold on just about everything. You ever notice that your marriage is not always on the top burner like it was when you first got married? Amen? It cools off after a little while. Now, you can heat it back up. And when you get saved and you start serving God, after a while, sometimes you're not as hot for God as you were when you first got saved. Don't worry about it. You can heat it back up. Amen. That's why God invented microwaves and revivals and preachers. Amen. So when you start to cool down and get a little thick and a little stiff and all that kind of stuff, it's our job to fire you back up and get you going again. Amen. But I'm here to tell you, if you think you're always just going to be up on the hilltop and it's always going to be sunny and the wind's always going to beat your back and everything's always going to go your way and you're just always going to be in love with Jesus, you're about half crazy. Amen. So what's going to happen? You're going to cool off. Things aggravate you. You let the things of this world get in your way. You let things in life get in your way. You get distracted. And that love you've got for Jesus Christ will cool off. It will die down. Well, what are you going to do? Quit? No, sir. No, sir. No, sir. It's like you don't give up on your marriage. You don't give up on your children. You can be aggravated with them and frustrated with them and want to piss your head off. Somebody asked old Dr. Bob Sam Jones one time if he ever thought about divorce. He said, no, I never have. He said, I thought about murder a couple of times, but never divorced. Amen. Amen. He said, why? He said, what he's saying is you don't quit. You sign on, you sign on. You get saved. Listen, there's going to be some times when you get a little cold on God. Sometimes things are going to come by to cool you off. You'll face the wintry blast. But you don't quit. You just hang around. Summer will come back. Summer will come back. The secret, the trick to becoming a loser in life in anything is quitting. The only way you ever become a winner, the only way you ever have a successful Christian life, the only way you ever have a successful marriage, the only way you ever have a successful business is you don't quit when the trouble comes and the obstacles come, when it's nighttime, when it gets cold outside, when you're down in the valley, when the wind blows the wrong way. The thing to do is just keep on keeping on, keep on keeping on. Don't you ever quit. Don't you ever quit. I've told this story before. My son went to Tabernacle Baptist Church, went to their school up in Virginia Beach. Now, my son's a little bitty sucker. He ain't been about this big. But they have a thing called ODAX. It's a sports thing for Christian schools. And you know what he got himself? He got on the track team. I said, son, ain't nobody with 24-inch legs need to be on no track team. Amen. You need to be about 6'5" or something. But that's what he wanted to do. He couldn't shoot no basketball. And all. He got on the thing. And he was pretty quick in a sprint. But even if you're pretty fast and you're pretty steady, them boys with them real long legs on them 440 relays and stuff, they're going to get you. You just don't stand much of a chance. But he got himself into it anyway. And so we went down there and it was having this big thing with all these other Christian schools at the end of the year to see who the champion was. Well, he got out there and boy, they took off. And man, when he first took off, he jumped right out in front. I said, whoa, glory to God. Maybe there's more to this boy than I thought. And he got a little ways down around there and pretty soon they catching up with him. And they got about that third turn and he was back in the middle of the pack. He didn't make one lap and he was dead dog last. He got about, I don't know how many, 400 meters or whatever it was they were running. And all them boys, I mean, they done took off and left him. And he's just getting further and further behind. And it wasn't too long, some of them guys were lapping him. And I could look out there and his face was red and he was pounding, boy. I mean, he was just give out. You know what I do? I'm standing over on the side watching him. He'd come lumbering by like this, just all he could do to just keep from falling out. I shouted him words of encouragement. I said, don't quit, boy. Don't quit. Don't quit. You're only three laps down. You got a shot at it. So why didn't you let him quit? Because we don't quit. We don't quit. We don't quit. I don't care if it's wintertime. I don't care how cold it gets. I don't care how deep the valley is. I don't care how dark the night is. We just don't quit. You signed on, you stay at it. It's the only way you'll ever say, I finished my course. It's either that or I quit my course. Now, those 7 points there are just kind of an introduction. Point number two, it's been a journey. It's been a journey that started with an old rugged cross. You know, every trip's got a starting place. Every journey you went on, ever been on in your life, had to start somewhere. I remember when I was in the Navy, they was fighting that war over in Vietnam, or playing at fighting that war in Vietnam. And we were in Norfolk, Virginia, and they wanted all them A6 intruders over West Pac. We had to make that long trip. We were going to go over there and stay 6 months and come back home. We actually went over there and spent 11 months before we come back home. But we packed all of our stuff up, got everything all ready, and we left Oceana Naval Air Station headed for Vietnam 12,000 miles away. But there was a time and a place where the trip started. We were going on a long, long journey. But it had a starting point. And if you're saved by God's grace, you wasn't born no Christian. You wasn't a Christian because you were born in America. You're not a Christian because grandma and grandpa are good, godly Southern Baptist folk. You're not a Christian because you live here in this old country. You got to have a starting point of your own. Just like you got born into this world, you got to get born into the family of God. Amen. Except a man be born again, he shall not see the kingdom of God. Do I sound like I got on the radio? I've been practicing all week. I can't breathe. I'm killing myself. Oh, give me a second. It had to be a time and a place when your journey started. Amen. There had to be a time and a place when you became a Christian. And your journey started for the celestial city at a point and a time. Now, I know it's 25 minutes after 11, March the 4th, 1972, Lot 15, Briarwood Trade Park, Meridian, Mississippi, right here on good old planet Earth in the United States of America, when I bowed my head at the kitchen table and asked Jesus Christ to save me, and he born me again into the family of God, and my journey started right then and right there. Amen. It's a journey that started at an old rugged cross. I tell you something else. It's a journey with all expenses paid by another. Hallelujah. A couple years ago, I took my wife on a cruise. It was our 40th anniversary. I'm fixing to have to do it again for 45. So I don't know where the time's going. But we went on a cruise. Now, if you go on a cruise, don't you get on no boat where they got all them casinos and floor shows and naked women and gambling and drinking. Don't take one of them. I know they're a little cheaper. It costs more money to go on a Christian cruise. But you find yourself one where they close down the bars and close down the casinos and there ain't no floor shows and they get about 15 Southern gospel groups in there and it's just Southern gospel music day and night. Amen. Now, me and my wife went on a cruise. It was a Christian cruise. And they had Gold City Quartet and I forget who I was on there now. But boy, we went to get on that cruise and we had to go up and pay some money down and make sure we had a reserve seat and make sure we have a cabin on the boat. Amen. And you had to do a lot of stuff, make a lot of preparation and a lot of arrangements and this, that, and the other. And it cost us a lot of money. I ain't gonna tell you how much. I'm embarrassed. But it's expensive. I mean, you got to pay the plane ticket down there, and you got to buy the tickets for the cruise, and then you got to have spending money. If you take your wife to a foreign port, you got to have a lot of spending money. She wanted everything she saw. And then she made such bad business deals, I don't know where we was at. She wanted to take one of them horse and buggy rides. I'm just telling the truth now. It did. That's where you buy nothing. We took a cab from the boat to town for $5. She got us a ride back on a horse and carriage. And she said, I had gone down to get a set of earrings for Samantha. And I came back, and she got this horse and buggy sitting there. She said, and she's all smiles. She's just happy she can be. She got us a horse and buggy. And she said, and I got such a good deal. I said, how good a deal? She said, he wanted 40. She said, but he let us have it for 25. I get to clop, clop, clop down them dirty streets behind that stinking horse in that filthy old carriage, wobbling and shaking for $25. I could rode in a Honda for $5. Cost us a lot of money. I tell you what, I'd like to take a cruise and somebody else pick up the tab. Amen. Buy my plane ticket. Give me all my spending money. Buy me all that steak and lobster I want. Give me spending money when I get down there to, I can't remember what the name of the ports we went in, but they all the same anyway. I like all that. I mean, somebody pay for the whole thing. Pay for the plane ticket, the food, the spending money, the cruise. That'd be a blessing. Boy, I'd go in a second. Anytime y'all want to send me, you let me know. I'll launch right out of here. And I promise to have a good time on your money. Amen? Listen, I want to go to heaven. It's a long, long journey. I can't afford to make the trip. The price is far more than I've got. Somebody came along and said, Bob, I'm going to buy you a ticket. And I'm going to pay all the expenses. And Jesus Christ paid for my sin on Calvary's cross. And my trip is paid for. It ain't costing me nothing. And that old boy that spent 800 pages trying to convince me I could lose it and it was going to cost me, that old boy's out of his mind. I'm here to tell you that God sent his only begotten son and he died on Calvary's cross and he paid my sin. And it ain't cost me a dime to get from here to glory. I'm on an all expense paid journey. I'll tell you something else. It's been a journey along a narrow way. This trip I'm going on doesn't allow for me to have too many detours. Now, I don't know if you ever thought about it or not. You get ready to go someplace. Now, sometimes me and my wife go out, and we just call it, we say we're knocking around. I mean, we're not going anywhere in particular. We just crank the car up, point the nose down one road, and wherever it goes, that's where it goes. Now, I like that. We've been to some neat places. We have also been so lost we did not know where we were. I have on occasion questioned whether we're still on the same planet. amen. But most of the time when you go someplace, you've got a certain amount of time to get there, a certain amount of time to get back, and you take usually the most expeditious route to get there and back. Now, you may include a stop or two along the way at some special site or memorial or park or some other thing that you want to see, but that's planned in too. Amen? So it's not always necessarily the most direct route. It's usually the most direct route, and there's a place or two along. But you know what that is? That's a narrow way because what you've done is you've eliminated a lot of other places and a lot of other things that you could have gone and done in order to do this. Now, when I got saved, I got put on the narrow way. I'm walking and talking and living for Jesus Christ, which means there's some places I can't go. There are some things I can't do. My way has been restricted. Amen? And so I'm walking on the narrow way. And if you're saved by God's grace, you're going to a certain place, and there's a certain way to get there, and you got to walk the straight and narrow. Amen? That means you can't just wander all over the countryside and live like the world and do what the world does. We're a peculiar people, zealous of good work, with God has before ordained that we should walk in them. Amen? Amen. I'm sick and tired of Christians they're not on a journey. They're not going anywhere. They've just kind of settled down out here. And you can't tell them in their talk or their dress or their speech or their habits or their customs or their traditions from the rest of the world. Been a lot of journey along a narrow way. I'll tell you something else. It's a journey that ends at the pearly gates. Now, blessed be God, you can be a hobo if you want to. I'm on a journey. I ain't hoboing. I know where I'm going. I'm going home to glory. I'm going to the celestial city. And my journey is going to take me from the cross of Calvary to the pearly gates of heaven. Amen? And when I see them pearly gates, I'll know I'm home and my journey is complete. Between now and then, I'm just going to walk the narrow way day by day until I get down there and knock on them pearly gates. Somebody say amen. I know my journey ends at the pearly gates. I'll be glad I get one of these days. Amen. I'm looking forward to seeing this city. There's a lot of folks over there I want to see. There's some things I want to do. And there's some theology I want to straighten out for a bunch of brethren that don't know their head from a hole in the ground.
Amen.
Amen. It's a journey that ends at the pearly gates. This ain't home. My journey ain't over. Listen, age, your journey's not over. It just got started, and it's not over till you knock on that door. And Peter said, "Who that knocking on the door?" Not only that, it's a journey with a friend. He said, "I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee." He said, "He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother." Now, I've been walking the narrow way pretty much, a misstep here or there along the way. But pretty much for the last 34 years, I've been on a journey with a friend. Now, Geraldine Henry Rowe, they just went on a vacation. It's a sin for anybody to take 6 weeks. But you know that. And if that ain't in the Bible, best God, I'll put it in there. But they went with, is it her brother or his brother? Her brother and his wife. And they each got a camper, and they're out goofing off and all that stuff. And they're on vacation. And they ought not to be. excuse me. But you know why they went together like that? Because they're friends. They said, "We're going to take this trip, and we're going to take Nan or whatever her name is. And they're going to go with us because we're friends. We enjoy each other's company. And we'll have a good time, us two couples, and we'll just go around the countryside and pass out gospel tracts and see stuff and just have a good time with our friends." Amen? Listen, when I got saved, I got me a friend. His name is Jesus. He said, "Bob, it's a long, long journey, but I'll go with you." Every step of, do you know that when I was on the mountain high, he was there? When I was in the valley low, he was there? When I was camped out beside the still waters, he was there? When I was in the green pastures, he was there? When the door swung open and the wintry blast came blowing by and my life looked like it was going to fall apart, he's been there. Everywhere I went and everything I did, Jesus Christ has been right there with me. I haven't taken one step by myself. It has been a 34-year-long journey with a friend. Point number three. It's a journey that ends in a place. It ends in a place, number one, where my feet will never wander out of the way. Now, you travel with me. I get in a car. I head to Tennessee. The first car I see, he's got Tennessee plates. I just get behind him. He may be going to West Virginia. I'm not quite that bad, but I don't read maps much. I just depend on my wife to guide. And I'm going to have to quit that because here lately she's not doing so good. you take off on that trip. You got to depend on somebody. And sometimes, if you're not a good map student and you don't have directions, you get lost. You get out of the way. We was up in the mountains here a year or so ago. And I think we went up and spent the night at Red Rocker Inn. And it snowed that night. And it was right at Christmas time. It was beautiful. We had a great time. We got up the next day and we just kind of wandering around up there in the mountains. And we saw this little tiny church over on the left-hand side of the road. And it had a really weird name. I mean, it was like Cock-a-doodle-doo. First Baptist Church. I mean, it was just really weird. And we was talking about it, you know, about the way they named some of them hillbilly churches up there with them crazy hillbilly people. And so we ride around for about an hour. We stop and get a cup of coffee and we mess around. And we're coming down the road. And you know what? There's Cock-a-doodle Baptist Church right there. We've been in a great big circle. Now, we don't know how we managed to make the circle. We don't remember where we turned. We're just out knocking around. Amen. But we came right back by that same place. And so then it was kind of getting late and it was starting to refreeze and my wife was getting worried about my driving on them slick roads. And so we had to break out the map and find out exactly where we were supposed to be and get back on track. Now, we didn't get in no trouble on our diversion, but we was off track. And it cost us a little time, cost us a little progress. Amen? Shouldn't have got off track. One of the days up in the pearly gates, my journey's going to end, and it'll end in a place where my feet will never wander out of the way again. I'll never get lost again. I'll never be someplace I shouldn't be. My feet will walk straight and narrow, and my feet will walk side by side with Jesus Christ forever and ever and ever. Not only is it a place where my feet will never wander out of the way, my journey ends in a place where my hands will never reach for forbidden things. Don't you wish that in your heart of hearts that everything your heart yearns for, everything you want to put your little hands on was a good thing and a right thing? But haven't you found that from time to time you find them old fingers just itching to get into something you know you ought not to be in? Go someplace where you know you ought not to go. Do something you know you ought not to do. Amen? Well, I just want to slap it sometimes. Stay back out of the way. I want to live for God. I don't want to reach out here and reach and touch nothing dirty or unclean or unsanctified or unholy or ungodly. And boy, you got to constrain yourself and restrict yourself. I'll be glad when my journey's over and my hands never have desire to reach out and grab something it ought not have. I'll tell you something else. My journey ends in a place where my eyes will never be wet with tears again. The Bible said, and passing through the veil of Baca. You know what that is? That's the valley of tears. That's what this whole world is, the veil of tears. If you live very long, you're gonna shed some tears. You're gonna cry. We cry for all kinds of reasons. Now, sometimes we cry from joy. That's a woman thing, pretty much. I got to where I cry at chick flicks. Y'all ever watch that movie, The Notebook? I cried like a baby. I was a wreck. That stuff just tears me up, boy. It was so sweet. But anyway, if you live very long, you're going to shed some tears. Somebody's going to break your heart. You're going to fail at something. Something's not going to go your way. You're going to get hurt. Somebody you know is going to pass away. Somebody's going to disappoint you, your children, or this, that, and the other. You fail at your career choice. I guarantee you, if you live very long, things going to come along that bring tears to your eyes. You're not going to make it through this old world without shedding some tears. You're not going to make it without some hurt. I'm looking forward to a place when this old journey is over that tears will never run down these cheeks again. My life will forever be peace and love and joy. I'll be in the presence of God and the saints and in the home of the redeemed, being with the angels forever and ever, and nothing that hurts or offends can enter therein, and no tear will ever run down my cheek again. I'll tell you something else. I'll finish with this. My journey ends in a place where my heart will never break again. You know, the toughest thing about living is not dying. Truth is, you're going to die, want to or not. Fearful or not, ready or not. The point of a man wants to die after this is judgment. You know, the toughest part about living, the hardest thing you have to endure living, broken hearts. Nothing wounds us. Nothing takes our strength. Nothing takes our vitality. Nothing takes our desire for life like a broken heart. And nobody gets by without one. Not nobody. Somewhere, somehow, some way, something or somebody break your heart. And you say, oh God, it's a wound that I cannot bear. It's a burden I cannot handle. It's a wound that will not heal. But I'm here to tell you, it will. I saw a sign in the Church of God the other day. You know, them people are all crazy. I love them. Some of them good folks. They're good folks. They're just nuts. They got a sign up. You know what that idiot preacher put on there? That idiot wrote on that sign, God heals all wounds and leaves no scars. I looked at that thing. I said, you moron. Left the scars in his own hand. And God does heal all wounds. Anybody here got a broken heart that God has mended? Is there not a scar? Don't you have a memory? God heals the wounds, but the scars stay. The memories stay. The pain sometimes stays. But God does heal the wounds. But if you think you're going to get through it without leaving scars, you're crazy. I'm just looking for a place where it ain't going to break anymore. I'm looking for a place where it ain't going to hurt anymore. I'm looking for a place where there's not going to be any sadness anymore. I'm looking for a place with no disappointment anymore. So where's that at? At Journey's End. Amen. There's a little bar on Highway 5 going down toward Lancaster, and it says the end. The end. That ain't the end I'm looking for. I saw a guy with a bumper sticker in the car and said, I've been to the end. I said, boy, that's great. A 30 by 30 concrete block building. You've been there. Glory for you. That didn't sound like much of an accomplishment to me. Amen. Hey, man, that's not the end I'm looking for. I'm looking for the end of my journey. It ends at them pearly gates. And it takes all my heartache and sorrow and sadness and tragedies away. You know what's going to happen? When I get to my journey's end and I walk through those pearly gates, I'm going to spend eternity with the one that paid my fare. I'm going to spend forever with Jesus Christ. And that peace and that joy and that gladness and that sweet spirit that we've all longed for all of our lives, it's right there. It's not down here. Quit looking for it down here. Live for God. Serve God. Stay faithful. Get on the narrow way and stay there. And just stick it out to the journey's end. That's where it's at. You can have it. You can have it. It's there. Just as sure as there's a God up there. All you got to do, stick it out to the journey's end. Let's pray. Father, we thank you now for your goodness and your mercy. Thank you.